Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an awesome show coming up for you. But we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors who continue to help make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, and Daphne's Hottest Place for Chow, the waterfront restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Medicare lady, Miss Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens.
And, of course, we want to thank all our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So, please, when you visit those businesses, let them know that you're about. And, of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So, the discussion on Facebook for more information on the topics of the day. Coming up later on SBN, we will be joined by Mr. Bill Clark with Serenity Funeral Home. And Memorial Day is coming up soon, and Bill will get us up to speed on the services that they have to offer for our veterans and their families. And we will also speak with candidate for sheriff and former chief of police there in Mobile, Mr. Paul Prine. And Tom's tirade on absolutely zero functionality. It's a classic you don't want to miss. But first, it is time to break out your pencil and your paper and get ready to take notes, because class is in session as we are joined on SBN by the one and only Fran Barber from the South Alabama Veterans Council. Fran, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Thank you. Thank you.
What a blessing it is to have you on here, Ms. Barber. You do such an outstanding job for all the vets and the vet organizations here in the Mobile area. Bring us up to date on what's going on here at, on Armed Forces Day.
Well, before I say that, before I do that, I'd like to say one word.
Sure.
Bingo.
Bingo, that's right. Okay,
bingo.
Big deal. Yes.
Listen, every Monday night through the month of May at the Waterfront Restaurant, they are sponsoring the South Alabama Veterans Council. All the proceeds for the bingo will go toward the SAVC for us to distribute to veterans in need and other items that are needed.
Just another great endeavor by Panini Pete Foundation and Nick DiMario and Corey, the GM over at the Waterfront Restaurant, which is one of our great sponsors and is on here quite often to bring us up to date on that. But yes, they do an unbelievable job, Fran, in presenting these monies from the bingo nights that they have there to different charities and all, and we're blessed with the South Alabama Veterans Council to be able to participate in that. Every monthly meeting, you guys are passing out checks to the different needs and the different organizations. Even they don't even have to be a veteran organization. Y'all see a need that y'all fulfill it.
That's absolutely right, Tom. Now, back to the MRE, I want everyone to know that our chefs for the MRE cook-off is Pete and Nick.
They're
two of the chefs. And the other one is Frankie Little with Roosters.
Okay.
So we've got some good judges. We have an honorary judge, Frances Doster. She's been one of the Armed Forces Day supporters as long as we've been doing this at the battleship. So she's, we're looking forward to it. We just need more people to register. Don't forget, it's savc.info. Click on that little button that says MRE cook-off. Fill out that application, and you can pay your $50 either on PayPal, or you can go to Eventbrite and pay it.
That's awesome. Sure. That's awesome. I know that there's several teams that have already gotten together. The P.L. Wilson Detachment of Marine Corps League will have our team out there again this year, and I'm sure Colonel Steve Carey will have one from the Veterans Commission.
Yeah, you've got some good competition this year, Tom.
So. I know it. They're coming after us. So. I just don't want to see them showing up with no taco shells with MREs.
I hear you. Yeah, Jennifer, one thing that's going to be a little bit different this year, the MRE cook-off teams have to be set up by 9 a.m. Saturday morning. And we're doing something special in the pavilion at the beginning of the Armed Forces Day ceremony. And we want our teams inside the pavilion by 9 o'clock. And they'll get some other information from Jennifer. And also, there's going to be a special recognition.
Awesome. That's really neat. And you've got what? How many VSOs our vendors are going to be there. I think you've got a full house on that.
We do have a full house. We have some very, very nice vendors and VSOs. I think they'll enjoy being there and checking out the information that each vendor and VSO has to offer. And we have a great guest speaker, Evans, with the National Guard.
Okay.
And he is our Mike Evans. I couldn't think of his first name. He's our guest speaker, and we're going to have some other interesting people having some things to say.
It's always really an exciting event. We've been there on numerous occasions, and we'll be there again this year with our Scuttlebutt Network and the P.L. Wilson Detachment of the Marine Corps League. So looking forward to it.
We're going to have the Lou Lartigue Memorial Ride is going to open the ceremony.
Oh, my goodness.
They'll ride in about 8 o'clock. And immediately after the ceremony, which will be over about 10:30, we're going out to see a special demonstration by the 20th Special Ops National Guard.
Right.
And then the MRE contest will start at 11.
That's awesome. They're actually going to do a assault out of the helicopters or something, aren't they?
Yes.
I think that will be a very exciting event for them. I think they're supposedly setting up a facility over there and all, and they're going to do an assault on it and go in and save somebody's life, maybe. I'll have to go volunteer. I hadn't been saved lately.
Just want everybody to go to savc.info and register for that MRE contest and be there early.
All right. And again, for the teams that haven't registered on there, how can they go about doing that, friend?
Just go to savc.info and check on click on the button that says MRE registration. It'll take you to the application and a link to Eventbrite to pay your $50.
Awesome. And, right, which is a donation to the SAVC.
It covers the expense of the prizes.
Right,
got
okay.
Some good prizes this year.
Awesome. I know they had some last year. We didn't get a chance to participate in that phase of it, but we did participate and had a camaraderie is awesome. And again, we certainly appreciate you being on board here with us this afternoon and bringing that to our attention. Ms. Fran Barber, from Mr. Secretary, and also the newsletter writer for the South Alabama Veterans Council and a couple of other organizations. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
When we return on the Scuttlebutt Network, we will get a interview here with our sheriff, high sheriff, running for the sheriff's department, Mr. Paul Prine.
Hit a lick against what's wrong, or say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And if you like to listen on demand or just catch up with the show, you can always find our regularly aired programs up via podcast on the FM Talk 106.5 app. And Tom's tirade is up on castbox.fm. And it's an honor to be joined on SBN by former Mobile Police Chief and candidate for sheriff, Mr. Paul Prine. Paul, welcome to the Scuttlebutt.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Hi, Paul. It's a pleasure that, having you on here on the Scuttlebutt Network in front of all of our veterans here on the Gulf Coast area. And they're kind of wanting to know what your position is on, and you're running for our sheriff seat there, and you know, is there anything you think you might be able to see fit to do for our veterans?
Listen, I'll tell you this, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to talk, especially to the veterans. Nobody's treated me better than the veterans, certainly on the mayoral campaign and now the campaign for sheriff, and we try to attend as many events as we can. But, you know, we just feel like we could do a better job at the sheriff's office. You know, we don't really know how well the sheriff's office is doing. There's no annual report. My commitment to the community is that we'd put out an annual report to show you just how well your tax dollars being used. And certainly to buy body-worn cameras. We're one of the last agencies, not only in the state, but in the country, that don't have body-worn cameras. And, you know, I'm just real big in transparency. We always made a concerted effort. We love our veterans. We always made a concerted effort at the Mobile Police Department, certainly to recruit and hire those that had served our great country. And we do that because these are the guys that's tried and true. They're battle tested, if you will. And we know when we hire veterans that we know exactly what we're getting. And we're finding that our veterans, the men and the women across the spectrum with every branch of the military, we find they make some of the best officers when they go into civilian life.
Well, and that being said, Paul, is that, you know, we all have been trained in so many different aspects of things, and so many of us have MP training and crowd control training and weapon, all of our weapons training, as well as how to keep each other six and take care of our you know, our family, which is our other brothers and sisters that are on whatever line we're on. And that's the same thing. It has to carry over to the sheriff's department and certainly to the police department.
Well, listen, I don't disagree with you. And while they come from special forces, certainly from military police occupations, but just military personnel in general, because of the rank and file, the discipline, they're already acclimated to that
right.
Command-demand structure. it just makes it easier, even if they don't have any type of special weapons training. Military personnel are just always easier to train. They acclimate very easy. They integrate within the system very easy. And most of the time, they've usually got some experience when we hire them, especially for some of the younger rookie officers that are hired that maybe didn't go in the military or maybe just don't have enough time on the streets. But that is real big to me. I've often, too, thought maybe partnering with, you know, Vets Recovery. As you know, Vets Recovery has a great program that they
Awesome. Yes. They
offer resources, yes, sir, for all of our military personnel.
And first responders, too. Yeah,
first responders. But that's actually where I was going, is partnering with Vets Recovery, because they do have some programs, and while PTSD is certainly a real thing with our military people, it's also a real thing, unfortunately, with the rank and file of law enforcement agencies, and trying to bridge that gap between the two, you know, the military personnel, the lifestyle of the military, and bringing those resources and helping some of those that serve on the front lines of law enforcement and first responders.
Right, right. And, you know, and that's really a deep thing. And they have really done so much. And Admiral Davis is out there now as CEO, and John Kilpatrick, and they've, I mean, I've had some stories of the three or four Marines that I know of that they've actually saved their lives, and now they're productive citizens and all. But they're not, it's not only vets, you know, Army, Navy, Marine Corps, whatever vets it is, but I know that they also have services for your first responders, too, and that's a great thing.
Well, they do, and we had just picked up the tail end before my untimely departure with the city of working with Vets Recovery, and I hope that the city of Mobile continued that program. Those are the two gentlemen, certainly, that you refer to, Mr. Kilpatrick, and certainly Kent Davis, are two some of the finest men that you could have. But, you know, when you talk about the Sheriff's Department, I'd love to also see a partnership with the local veterans groups, such as the Veterans Council and some of those groups, the VFWs, and maybe try to find a way to kind of bridge that gap between even some of those that are actively retired, maybe working through committees to offer some assistance,
right,
you know, to
right.
the deputies on the front lines. I mean, because, listen, some of these veterans, while these officers deal with it day in and day out, some of these veterans have dealt with things, certainly, especially those in active combat across seas.
Sure.
And to be able to come back, it's a lot of the same things. It's just different battlefields, if you will, but, you know, trying to bridge that gap. And I just don't think that we use our veterans enough, in my opinion.
Well, you know, and that's something that we're looking forward to is, you know, to see what your opinion was and how you felt about our veterans, because we have thousands of veterans here on the coast, and a lot of them listen to this station because we are the only veterans' voice that we have out there now. And Cal and I have pushed real hard over the 17 years that we've been on board here with it to make sure that we get the word out from guys like you that are running for a political office, and you know, and how you feel about our veterans, so that we know how to vote.
Well, listen, and there's also other programs and things that we can do, especially when you have these critical incidences, natural disasters, and situations where you just need additional manpower, whether it's for search and rescue, land, or you know, out there on the waterways, you know, with search and recovery. There's just a lot more we could do to include some of the retired veterans, you know, those that, you know, want to participate, be involved in something. And, you know, listen, that's a win either way, Tom.
Sure it is.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a win either way, because you're talking about men and women that have served our country. And, you know, in many regards, you know, especially for some of those that even did wartime.
Sure.
And especially some of those that maybe spent a career in the military, and to come back out, the closest thing that they're ever going to get towards that military life is that of a paramilitary organization, such as the Sheriff's Office.
Well, so many people try to to dissect and differentiate a veteran, like a veteran that, like myself, in the Marine Corps, Navy, and Army, et cetera, versus your first responders. And to me, they're veterans as well, because we put on our uniforms and went over for the freedom of this country, where they put their uniforms on and they go out for our freedom every day. So as far as I'm concerned, they're veterans.
Well, listen, and 30 years in the business, and I can tell you 24 and a half years ago, I was shot in the line of duty, took 3 rounds to the back. And so nobody knows that more than I do. And that's kind of what I said earlier, that the man or woman coming out of military life, there's not going to be a greater connection than that of a paramilitary organization,
right,
such as the police, right, or the sheriff's office. And I think that the sheriff can lead that charge with every police department, not only with the city of Mobile, with every agency in the county, and trying to find a way to plug these veterans in that want to participate and be involved, for sure.
That is so true. That is so true. And I'm certainly glad to hear that you're on that page and would endeavor to try to make that happen. You know, I don't really know where we're at with that, with our current sheriff's department and all, and how well they handle that. I'm sure we will get a report from the sheriff when we have him on board. But it's great to know that you're on that page and move forward. Are you looking for any other changes in the area that we might need to be considered on this last minute we have here on the show?
Well, listen, I'll tell you this. You know, we talked about body-worn cameras. I'm big on transparency. I'm big on spending the money. I had a $75 million a year budget with the police department. I never blew the budget one time. I just believe in doing right by the people and their money and giving them something every year in return, whether it's equipment, whether it's an annual report to show how well we're doing. I just think those things in the way of transparency are really, really big deal. I'll tell you this, I am a Second Amendment advocate. I am a constitutionalist. I believe that, you know, we rescinded the pistol permit law. It needs to stay that way. But I can go ahead and commit to you, Tom, and tell you this. I'd probably more than likely, when I take office, is put a Veterans Council committee together for the Sheriff's Department and bring some of those that's been battle-tested, if you will, to figure out how do we bridge that gap. And I think a committee's a great way to start doing something like that.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your opinion and glad to have you on board tonight. And, you know, looking forward to see how the primaries work out.
That sounds good. May 19th, and we certainly appreciate it. And thank you again for having us.
Thank you, sir. Y'all have a blessed one.
And, you too, brother. Take care.
And you can always go to on our Facebook page for more information. And on the other side of the break, Mr. Bill Clark with Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens will return on the scuttlebutt.
Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us on our mission for our sins, the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters. And we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we certainly want to thank the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyers Colin Kimberly, and all the folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Miss Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, and Daphne's Hottest Eatery, the waterfront restaurant at Number 1 Yacht Club Drive, in the home of the fabulous bingo games here the next few weeks, then the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And it is always a privilege to be joined on SBN by Mr. Bill Clark with Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Bill, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Well, thank you, Cal. Thank y'all for putting this on. This show is great to showcase our greatest Americans, our veterans.
Well, brother, we appreciate you, and I know that you've got some serious veterans in your background there.
Yes, sir. Yes, I sure do. And, you know, it's our country needs to appreciate more what our veterans have sacrificed and done for this nation.
Right, right.
We can never repay what the debt that we owe them. And, you know, when we do our small part that we do every day to try to honor them, it's just a very small thank you for what they've given us.
Well, we see that from the services that Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens furnishes to our vets and our vet families during a time of need and distress. And I can assure you that I've been there on numerous occasions doing funerals for our veterans. And we appreciate the way you treat them and the way you treat the families. It's just everybody's talking about it, and you guys do an unbelievable job. Thank you so much, Bill.
Well, thank you. It's our honor.
Well, how long has Serenity Memorial Gardens been in business, brother?
Since 1966.
Okay.
So
was it called something else then?
Year 60. Beg your pardon?
Was it called something else then? I don't remember.
Well, years ago, and it still is, Lawnhaven.
Lawnhaven, okay.
Cemetery, the historically African-American cemetery, right on Pascagoula Road. Don Palmer purchased the property. I think it had gone bankrupt and turned it around, made it successful, then added Serenity Memorial Gardens right behind it. So the two cemeteries really just blend together.
Well, in other words, you haven't had the funeral home all the time?
No, the funeral home was added in 1986. That was the vault plant. We own Gulf Coast Vault Company. And so burial vaults were being manufactured at that building. And in 1986, Don Palmer decided to open the funeral home. So he converted that building into the funeral home.
Okay. So do y'all still do the vault business?
Yes. Yes, we still manufacture our vaults every day.
Okay. Now, y'all have an awesome big building and all out there, and you had some additions. That being said, how does Serenity kind of measure up for our other funeral homes around the state?
Well, actually, Serenity is the largest funeral home in the state of Alabama.
Mercy. Okay.
A lot of people not aware of that, but it's, yeah, it's true. Sure is.
Well, I noticed that you have, like, you see the building up front, but you have two additional buildings. One of them's adjoining the big building up front, and then you have another a humongous building back in the back.
The building that's attached to the funeral home, with a carport in between, that is our administrative building. And then the very large building behind us is our event center, where families can utilize that building after a service to have a meal. You know, most folks don't have a house that can seat 60
right.
or 70 people, so they can utilize that and have it food catered in, and we can seat 100 for dinner.
Okay, and, so you can put 100. You know, I've been in there for a couple of events. We even had some birthday parties back there for some of our older gentlemen.
Yes, I sure did.
And you have a room and all set up there so that you could bring your catered food in or your food that the families have procured.
Yes.
And all, and you have a preparation room there that that could be utilized before you get your food out, however you may want to do it.
Yes, it's a caterer's kitchen with oversized industrial refrigerator and ice maker and whatnot. So warming oven. So, yes, we're equipped to handle a big catered event. And so families can utilize this. And when it's over, they just get up and walk out.
And awesome. Well, you've got plenty of parking and all back there, too.
Yeah, we've got plenty of parking, and so we can hold a very large event. And families not only use it for services, funeral services, but like you said, people have used it for birthday
right.
parties,
yeah.
weddings, baby showers, so you name it. So we wanted to make this more of a kind of a community venue that people can
right,
use it
right.
for other things other than just funerals.
Well, that is just so much better situation there. We were actually in Slidell, Louisiana this past Sunday to a funeral over there, and then a wedding. If you don't, okay, wedding, same difference, what the hell. This wedding over there. But then we all had to get in cars, and we had to drive about 10 or 15 blocks and across two or three different thoroughfares and go into an event building, you know?
Yeah.
And some of the people said, we're going somewhere else, you know? So that kind of broke up the party, where if they have it at your facility and they could utilize that facility there behind these, where you had the services at, and you could always go down the street to the burial area, come back up the street, park there, plenty of parking area, real close walking. All of us old folks have trouble walking. We don't have problems walking there. And then you could utilize that facility. That's really an awesome thing that you guys have done.
Well, we're proud of it, and we encourage our families to utilize it.
What about some special plans or events for our Memorial Day this year?
Well, I don't really have anything big on the agenda for Memorial Day. We're going to provide a wreath for Post 250 for their celebration there. And so we'll be having some folks go down there for that.
Okay. Will that be at the cemetery area?
No, they're going to have it down at Fowl River.
Oh, down at Fowl River. Okay.
Yeah.
But y'all would participate in that event down there. You know, well, a lot of people don't realize what Post 250, American Legion Post down there, does for our veterans. I'm hearing figures like honor guards and funerals and firing the rifles and all. I'm talking like 200 events a year.
Yes, we call upon them quite often to come render honors. You know, the military is going to limit usually just two people,
right,
to render honors, and they fulfill a major role in giving a full honors for our veterans.
And they don't pick and choose what branch of the service it is, as long as they're a veteran.
Right. And so we're most appreciative of the work they do.
Yeah. Well, what we found with that, and we run into it with our Marine detachment here and all the funerals that and services that we perform, we'll only normally get two people from whatever branch of the service that it is, two veterans or in-service gentlemen, and they'll come in. Most of the only thing they do is they'll fold a flag and present the flag to the deceased's relative. And every now and then you'll get one to come and play taps. But if not, then I know Post 250 is really, really good about doing all that, making all that presentation. And I mean, you know, we need to put a cherry on them because we see them everywhere all the time. Matter of fact,
absolutely.
Three or four of my Marines are involved in that honor guard, so I know what they're doing.
Yeah, they're great folks.
All right, Bill. Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens is located on Old Pascagoula Road. Any phone number or websites you want to give out?
251-653-4781, and reach us at www.serenityfuneralhome.com.
What a blessing. Thank you so much, buddy, for being on board with us.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And we'll now move forward there and get some information from some of our great sponsors, and you'll get my tirade, and Cal and I'll be back.
Upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret.
Necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Last year, First Lady Michelle Antoinette proclaimed that the U.S. having more than 58,000 homeless veterans was a stain on the soul of this nation.
as the federal government expanded its initiatives to provide stable and affordable housing for service members. She said, quote, "As Americans, the idea that anyone who has worn our country's uniform spends their night sleeping on the ground should horrify us. And so it's truly our duty to right this wrong and put an end to veteran homelessness once and for all." As she addressed the 2014 National Conference on Ending Homelessness, "I remarked at the time that if she ever took the time to write her own material or actually listen to the words that she is saying, she might understand the overwhelming irony of that statement. As most veterans know, if you have ever served in the military, you likely have spent more than one night sleeping on the damn ground. Be it dirt, mud, sand, snow, or even worse. Sleeping, not only in the generally safe streets of America, but on the ground in some far-off hellhole, far away from those you love, to protect those back here at home so that they can safely sleep in their beds at night, knowing that there are those willing to sacrifice for our freedoms." Now, I would like to say that I am certain that her heart is in the right place, but you do have to wonder how that wasn't cleaned up by some highly paid speechwriter. But I digress. The First Lady's remarks also touted another statistic, that nearly 100 local leaders had pledged to end homelessness among veterans in their communities by the end of 2015 as a part of the mayor's challenge to end veterans' homelessness, and that the initiative had commitments from 182 communities from across the country, including Chicago, Atlanta, Baltimore, Boston, Los Angeles, Seattle, Dallas, and Miami. She went on to say, quote, "This issue isn't just about data and budget proposals or long-term plans. In the end," she said, "ending veteran homelessness is about people. It's about connecting people to each other and the resources they need." At that time, nearly a year and a half ago, the Obama administration claimed to have helped more than 60,000 veterans and their family members avoid becoming homeless in 2013 under a program called Supportive Services for Veteran Families. You may recall that that number alone should have just about wiped out the problem for homeless veterans, since the numbers had been going south of 60,000 for about a year. But I am certain that someone in the VA in charge of crunching the numbers, has figured out a way that 60,000 minus 60,000 equals, well, 60,000. And so it is no surprise that with the beginning of the new year 2016 came another round of horse hockey and fictitional accounting from the folks in the Beltway when it comes to our veterans. You see, they couldn't admit that there was no homelessness or that homelessness was a failure, so they created a new category of lies, functional zero. Yes. Functional zero is a term that has been created by a government drone for a situation where all known homeless persons in a specific population, in this case veterans, meet the definition of homelessness and are housed within 10 days of being identified as such. Many of the cities throughout the nation, including the home of our flagship station in Mobile, Alabama, have been granted the designation of functionally zero homeless veterans. Mobile actually received its designation in September of 2015, with many other cities, including Biloxi and Gulfport, Mississippi, whose mayors received personal phone calls from, get this, not VA Secretary Bob, as you might expect, but the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Julian Castro. That's right. Much like the women running for the Democratic nomination for the White House, VA Secretary Bob was too busy to make the call or take the call. No word on whether a shillong was involved. Interestingly enough, New York did not receive a phone call, but the communist in charge, Mayor Bill de Blasio, simply declared an end to what he called, quote, chronic veterans homelessness. One can only imagine that this is similar to ending chronic government union corruption, except that the chronically homeless are rounded up and forced into taxpayer-funded housing while the chronically corrupt government unions are forced to take terminal leave, sitting at home watching Netflix on the taxpayer dime. Not much of a difference if you think about it. It's all on somebody else's dime. Nonetheless, the most often quoted statistic of the number of homeless veterans at its peak was about 300,000. So if over the last few years we've helped veterans, then we should be damn near close to getting that 300,000 to zero. Of course, you and I know that this will never happen. Oh, we will hear great stories of achievements in certain areas where the homeless veterans are no longer probably ridden out of town to make room for the next busload of illegal aliens. But in the end, the problem will still exist, just as the Department of Housing and Urban Development admitted in under the radar press release. There is no way to truly stop veterans' homelessness from the federal level. No amount of money will stop it, just as no number of bombs will stop ISIS. But in the harsh reality of individual veterans and their families, and in the ever crueler world of Beltway politics, because you understand that those efforts to end veterans homelessness means big bucks coming from the federal government to all of the community organizers throughout this nation. And those dollars mean more parasites feeding at the government trough. And for the few veterans that actually are helped by the government, it means that they now own you. Because in the end, this is all about transforming veterans from a staunchy, reliable, conservative voting bloc into a newly tapped resource for liberal progressives to keep under their thumb by reminding you every 4 years that it was only through their big hearts spending other people's tax dollars that you made your way from the cruel streets to government housing, and that it could go all the way if you don't keep voting them back in. So it's just that easy. Warriors to welfare queens. Don't say we didn't warn you. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir!
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Well, there you go, Top Cat.
Horse hockey.
There you go. Well, yeah, you know, you got to use those words.
Well, I had to clean it up.
Yes.
There you go. But, you know, that is just a question. How many years ago do you think you wrote that?
Ooh, I would think somewhere around 16 or 17.
No, 10 years ago.
10? Okay.
10 years ago. And, of course...
Hey, it's still there today.
Well, yes. And, of course, if anyone with eyes to see who drives around, especially the sort of the downtown areas...
Sure. We got it all over Mobile.
Yeah, well, Tom, it's everywhere.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
You know, and the problem is that what the progressives are now doing, and that's the reason I pulled that one back up, the progressives, including the squad members, I think it's Talita Rashid, she's actually proposing a bill that would pull $1.2 billion from the Department of Defense to go towards homelessness in the United States of America. Now, just think about that. We're going to stop defending our borders.
Right.
So that we can, I don't even know what she wants to do. But think about it. In every place where they said, yeah, you can just be homeless.
Yeah.
You know, and part of that, that's all part of her bill. You can't stop people from sleeping in a public area. Well, where does that go from public to private?
Right. Yeah.
Because if someone wants to park outside my house or your house, no. And it goes beyond that, because you're pulling money out of defense to be able to do that.
Yep.
And then this money goes to who? And you and I have talked about this.
Oh, hey, we've had some occasions in Mobile where we saw where $1.5 million that they were spending a year, and they had one person in their system for that month.
Oh, I know, Tom. And here's the thing. You know, we're looking at, and we're coming up on the end of the show, but we're looking at all this fraud with home health care and the leering centers, those kind of things.
Yeah, leering. Yeah, that's the nice leering centers there. I love
you and I have also.
Yeah,
you
and they I teach spelling also, there too, Cal.
Yeah. Oh, they do. They teach the ABs. But
you know what they do. You know what they do, man. What you talking about,
Tom? No, but you and I have already talked about the fact that when all this money was going out during the Obama administration for the quote-unquote veterans homelessness, it was going through the Department of Agriculture. Why do you think that? Because it was fraud.
Right.
And if anyone ever wants to dig into it, they will find that the fraud that has been heaped upon the people through all these organizations. And I'm not knocking getting a veteran off the street. You and I both know that.
Sure,
but
sure.
The fact, the only people that are lining their pockets through these types of programs are the ones who are the heads of these programs.
Totally. You know, we ran into that again. We had an occasion, and we're in this office, they had like 12 people employed there, you know, and all new computers and desks and everything, you know, and making great salaries, and they had one homeless veteran in their program.
Yeah, Tom. Yeah, just exactly what it is.
Right.
Because
We got to spend that $1.5 million, we won't get it again next year.
Well, no, the thing about it is, the folks running the organization, they're driving a Bentley.
Oh, damn right. But they were sucking it all off.
There you go. Hey, remember our troops, those in harm's way especially? Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We will catch you on the other side.
Hoorah.